In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We now begin Lesson 28 on Holy Communion and receiving the Holy Eucharist. In the picture up there, we see that a reference to the multiplication of loaves and fishes, and underneath that, on the diagonal line, and all ate and were satisfied. Traditionally, of course, that miracle of the loaves and fishes at El Batica is considered to be a prophecy or a type figure of the Holy Mass and the reception, distribution and reception of Holy Communion. And on the next day, when Christ taught in the synagogue at Capernaum, he said, this is recorded in the 6th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, "You seek me because you have eaten of the loaves and have been filled. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for that which endures unto life everlasting. The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The bread is my flesh. We believe it really is his flesh. Question 366. What is Holy Communion? Holy Communion is the receiving of Jesus Christ and the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. Communion is an action. It is the sharing to the full of the Eucharistic sacrifice by eating the flesh of Christ as the food of our soul. By our sacrifice, we have offered a gift to God. God is pleased and has accepted our gift. He is so pleased that he invites us to eat the gift we have given him. He invites us to eat as guests at his table. Communion is the action by which all of us eat together the flesh and blood of Christ as the food and drink of our souls. So notice it said receiving and not taking. This is the, describes in that one word, well, the traditional way of receiving Holy Communion, that is, kneeling, head slightly back or looking straight ahead, eyes closed, tongue laid flat like a little altar, and receiving a blessing of the Holy Eucharist and then the Eucharist itself, where the priest places the host upon the tongue. And then immediately afterwards, not chewing the host as if it were any other food, but actually dissolving it with the tongue and saliva, and swallowing as soon as possible. It says, again, at the top, referring to the multiplication of loaves and fishes, all ate and were satisfied. And that satisfaction is such that no other food can come close to the satisfaction it brings. Of course, to be really aware of this is a rare gift. And most of the time, the satisfaction is given in darkness, and you're hardly aware of it. Although you can be aware of a deep sense of peace upon making a good communion. Now, of course, if we realized what Holy Communion really was, and that is, fully realized it, well, probably wouldn't be able to do anything else during the day. So our good Lord hides it. He hides much of the reality of it from our mind because we cannot bear it, just like he hid it from the minds of those receiving the loaves and fishes and those who received Holy Communion for the first time at Holy Thursday at the Last Supper. Question 367. What is necessary to receive Holy Communion worthily? It is necessary to be free from mortal sin, have a right intention, obey the Church's laws and the fast required before Holy Communion out of reverence for the body and blood of our Divine Lord. However, there are some cases in which Holy Communion may be received without fasting. And that is, not conscious of any mortal sin. And it says having the right intention. Well, the intention is union with God and not just doing something out of appearance. The fast, the Eucharistic fast, to which this question refers, is simple. It's just 1 hour, which isn't very much. That's sort of just having breakfast and then driving to church. Used to be long ago that the fast for communion was much more strict. That is, from midnight to the time of communion, you could not have anything to eat, you couldn't have anything to drink, not even water. Well, that was so prohibitive, so difficult on so many people that very few received communion, so the laws were lightened to 3 hours before communion, and then lightened again at 1 hour. Well, in our parish, and most of us in the Fraternity of St. Peter, we recommend doing something more than an hour. That's not much of any fast at all. So keeping the 3 hours, while that is not a law anymore, it is still a very good practice. Cases where the fast doesn't apply, of course, are for the sick, say, or a pregnant woman, or somebody in going into combat or something. They get one last chance for a mass, say. So there are emergencies. There are reasons where someone can go ahead and receive communion. And if there's any trouble of conscience about that, you can simply ask the parish priest for his advice or even dispensation. Question 368. Does he who knowingly receives Holy Communion in mortal sin receive the body and blood of Christ and his graces? The answer is, he receives the body and blood of Christ, but he does not receive his graces, and he commits a grave sin of sacrilege. So, on the next page, page 178, some trying to get this point across, there's a few drawings. Healthy people can eat. Sick people can eat, though it is harder. Dead people cannot eat at all. And that is an allegory, or an analogy, you might say, with that is, healthy people can eat, that is, souls without sin can receive Holy Communion. Souls with venial sin can receive, but they get less grace. But souls in mortal sin cannot receive. They get no grace at all. So only the living can eat bodily food. So too, only those living the life of grace can be nourished by the food of the Eucharist. If someone in mortal sin goes to communion, he receives no more nourishment than a dead man would. If food were forced down his throat, it would be even worse, since it would be a sacrilege. So there is no grace, no improvement in the interior life, no growth at all for one who eats in mortal sin. But rather think of it as poison, and a deadly poison. That is, sacrilege is the worst of all mortal sins, we might say.